That's the attitude of a defeatist like me.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, there is one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. I should have known she would win in the end. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown. My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. What have I done to deserve such a fate? I realize I have left it too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall. I'm telling you so that you won't lose all. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
The Beatles arrived in New York on February 7th, 1964. Everything about that day was memorable. The littlest things were major events. Paul.
Then I remember just driving in a kind of one of the big limos, you know, which I wasn't used to, a big American limo, you know, driving down the motorway into New York. And there was programs on all the kind of the stations, and they had all our music coming, and they were doing things like, the limo carrying them is now 30 minutes away, it's just past Shea Stadium or whatever, and I could see it and hear the commentary, like, so it was a buzz, you know, it was a ridiculous buzz.
One, two, three, four. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. you made me feel alright.
Hotel, ducking underneath the marquee, waving to the kids across the street as the policemen from the 18th precinct rushed in underneath the big canopy outside of the hotel now. It was a fast move. They hardly had time to know they were arriving. There was a quick toot on the horn, and then suddenly they were inside and out of sight completely.
Well, they took some honey from the tree, dressed it up, and they called it. Last night, half past four, 15 women knocking on my door. Everybody's trying to be my babe. Everybody's trying to be my babe. Everybody's trying to be my baby now. Everybody's trying to be my babe. Everybody's trying to be my babe. Everybody's trying to be my baby now. Everybody's trying to be my baby now. Well, they took some honey from a tree, dressed it up and they called it blue. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby. Everybody's trying to be my baby now.
Into the hotel rooms, rang up all the DJs, hello, you know, we're just very for it all.
Hello everybody listening, this is George Harrison.
Hello everybody, this is John Lennon of the Beatles saying.
Hello everybody, this is Paul McCartney speaking.
Hello everybody, this is Ringo speaking.
Right.
You're still picking on me, Ringo.
I'm not picking on you, John, you keep trying to put words into me mouth.
I know, because there's nothing coming out.
I'm gonna make you mine.
more like a holiday, really, than going and playing or doing any work. It was all going for us, you know, so it was just a trip, you know, you just got taken along on it.
As the Beatles were going into the hotel lobby and the hundreds of teenage girl fans were screaming and yelling, one young girl, probably 14 or 15, and I was right by him and I was right by the door, came rushing through the crowd, and she leaped over and knocked over a 750-pound concrete holder for a tree and grabbed Ringo around the neck and stretched off, at that point, his St. Christopher's medal.
I haven't had it off my neck since I was 21. It's 3 years, and it's sort of a keepsake. And
can you describe
if anyone's
it?
It's just a gold St. Christopher. If anyone's gold. Got it, please pass it. It is gold. I only weigh a gold.
Right, I'll tell you what you do.
As a matter of fact, I'm sure we can make this deal right now with Ringo. Anyone who has the St. Christopher medallion that they tore off Ringo as he was coming in the hotel room, if you will come to our WABC suite with the medallion, we will see that you meet Ringo in person. And he will thank you personally if you will bring the medallion back. Now, Cousin Brucey and I are going to go down on the street now because we know a lot of the people that are listening right now to ABC are down on the street. And if you do have the medallion, if you'll give it to us, we'll see that you get to meet Ringo personally, right?
Yeah, that's a deal.
It was almost impossible for them to have some time of their own or to do anything on their own. I remember talking to Ringo in a private room in the hotel just off one of his suites, and I remember looking at Ringo and Paul and John and George, and they were like, their skin was white, real white, and it looked as if they had never seen the sun. They were not really healthy at all, and they were very nervous, and I started to talk to Ringo. I turned the tape recorder on, and within a minute or two, he fainted. And I went running out in panic. I didn't know what had happened to him or anything. He fell on the floor, got him up, and we started calling for help and everything, put some cold water on, and he came too. And there was so much going on for them and so much pressure.
you don't really realize how bad it was. And then I remember in the interview that I did with John Lennon back in 1975, and he explained what he had to do to escape this sort of thing. He was in the hotel room. They're locked in. You can't go out, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Ringo, George. You can't go out. And how could he be incognito? Well, John Lennon figured out a way, and he left that hotel disguised as an elderly lady with a cane. He got the dress, the heels, a wig, a hat, and a cane, and he walked right through the lobby limping along with some other people and went out in New York and partied all night long.
It was a nose. I take the glasses. I mean, I didn't have the glasses. They weren't known those days anyway. But I couldn't, you know, I could stuff cotton wool up it like Brando did for his cheeks, you know. But then you couldn't breathe, you see. So if I had to put a beard or whatever it did, it was this nose that got me into trouble.
Scott Muni. I was there, and I'll never forget it. It was real. It was exciting. And it probably, unfortunately, will never happen again.